It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, yes. Back in here. We back. I'm back. You know what I mean? Ali is away. He'll be back soon. But in the meantime and in between time, it's just me. It's your boy. It's you and I. One-on-one, you know? How you doing? Okay. Yeah. We're going to talk about that for sure. We're going to talk about that. I know you've been wanting me to talk about that. We're going to talk about that for sure. Happy Cinco de Mayo, though. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Well, today is Cinco de Mayo. To tomorrow, I mean, right now is Cinco de Mayo. Y'all listening to it on Seis de Mayo. But hopefully you did something cool for Cinco de Mayo. I don't know. I ain't do nothing too cool. I ain't do anything. I'll be honest with you. I ain't drink. I ain't got no Tecate or Dos Equis or Corona nearby. I ain't got no Mexican beers. I got a Mexican Coke, but I don't even think I'm going to mess with that because I already had enough sugar for the day. And then, you know, the way they talk about this Mexican Coke, you know, they make it sound like it's cocaine the way they speak on it. Like, nah, it's the Mexican Coke, though. People get excited about it. It's the Mexican. This is like cane sugar. This is like the real, these real ingredients. This is crazy. I got me one of them, but I don't think I'm going to have that. But, yeah, man, Cinco de Mayo. You know, I found out, I was just looking it up, because Cinco de Mayo is one of them holidays where, first of all, Mexicans don't even really rock with Cinco de Mayo, FYI. Like, Mexicans, for sure, like, I don't want to say all Mexicans. The Mexicans, obviously, it's Mexicans in the U.S. that get busy. It's a bigger thing in the U.S., from what I understand, than it is in Mexico. Because, first of all, a lot of people think that it's Mexican Independence Day, which is not. That's in September. This is about one battle against France that was won in Pueblo. So, like, the people out in Pueblo, or Puebla, I think it's Puebla. Maybe it's Pueblo. I don't know. Y'all Google that. But they get lit because that's their war. They got, you know, their battle. It's a regional battle. You know what I mean? Round one of the playoffs. We'll talk about that, too. But, yeah, it ain't that big a deal, from what I understand, to Mexicans. But I feel like it's been co-opted by everybody else. Kind of like St. Patrick's Day. It's one of them, you know, let's get drunk kind of holidays where that's the sentiment of it all. You don't even know why you're getting drunk, but it's, hey, shit, let's get drunk. Let's have a margarita or something. Let's get some tequila. Get this Don Julio. You know, let's go. Let's go. Let's get right. So, yeah, I ain't doing none of that right now. I might have something later on, but it ain't. I ain't got no Mexican beer in the spot. I don't know. It is what it is. But yeah, happy Seis de Mayo. Hopefully your Cinco de Mayo was popping. This is about that time where I kind of start cosplaying as a Knicks fan. Not cosplaying, but you know, I'm not invested still. I'm happy that we're here, that we're doing good. And if the Knicks ever win a chip, they will turn this whole city upside down. And it will be something ridiculous, something like we've never seen before. But until then, you know, we into it, you know, like we just destroyed the Hawks, you know, in that first round. It was looking kind of touch and go. A lot of people thought the Knicks were supposed to just sweep the Hawks, but then the Hawks kind of got a little competitive. Then the Knicks got their mind right. And I mean, damn, they destroyed them, put belt to ass, as the folks say. 140-89, 51-point blowout. That's the largest blowout, I believe, in ever in NBA playoffs history. Damn! Wow. Then last night, you know, Knicks and the Sixers, they just started their playoff round, and we blew them out, too. Wasn't as crazy, 137-98, you know. So, Knicks is up right now. They playing tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll see if that momentum happens. You know, obviously, I always say, and I feel bad saying it, hope for the best, expect the worst. But you know what? I'm not going to expect the worst. I'm going to hope for the best. I talked about this last season when Cat got me excited, when he said, man, you know, something to the effect of why not? You know what I mean? Like, what we doing, man? Why you thinking about the worst? Stay present. Stay in it. You know, all of that woo-woo shit. I just saw this movie, Shampoo. Old school movie. Warren Beatty, Goldie Hawn, a few other people's. A Hal Ashby movie. And I kind of like Hal Ashby. Well, I like The Landlord a lot. I don't think I've seen Harold and Maude, but I know that's supposed to be good. I might check that out. And being there, I hear it's good too. I might have to check that out. But I like Shampoo. It's an old movie, but it was a fun movie. It was a movie. It was a light movie. I've been watching a lot of like cinema. You know what I mean? Like a lot of heavy, dense movies that be like like the runtime is ridiculous. It's like, come on now, 160 minutes? What are we doing here? 200 minutes? What are we doing here? I just watched Yee Yee just recently. It wasn't a bad movie, but they could have clipped that shit. That movie could have been at least an hour shorter. That's what I feel. But I mean, obviously, the people love it. But you know, a lot of these Criterion Closet wrecks, I've been exploring, I've been checking them out. And it is funny because it's similar to like a book. I find it hard for me to just not finish the shit. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been just slugging through fucking these movies that are just slow as molasses. So this Shampoo movie was just fun. It was light. It moved quick. You know, it was Warren Beatty kind of in his prime, kind of like, you know, leaning into his reputation as like a Hollywood playboy. The movie's about Warren Beatty. He's playing a hairdresser in 60s era Beverly Hills. You know, so a hairdresser to like really wealthy women, you know, and being that it's like the 60s, you know, being a hairdresser back then, it was almost assumed you were gay. So that was a perfect cover for George. That's his character's name, for George to really get into it. And George was out there having his way. He was just moving from woman to woman. So and he was messy with it, too. He had a girl. Right. He had a girl that was Goldie Hawn. That was his main. That's his lady. Right. She was an actress and she really like was considering him, like, you know what I mean? As opportunities came for her, she might have to go on the road. She's trying to run it past him. He's like he in it, but he ain't in it at the same time. So he got her. Then he's messing with this married woman. And then to make matters worse, just to see how crazy this cat is, not only is he messing with the married woman, he's messing with the husband's mistress who he's cheating on with the married woman. So he back and forth. So he's like, it's a full Bermuda Triangle out here. And it's just fun, man. It's fun. It's old school shit. And it was a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. I felt like I got out of movie jail. You know, it was a lot of tough movies that just had me like looking at the runtime, like looking at the damn, like how much time we got left? Looking at my watch. That's the last thing you want to do when you're looking at your watch. I was chopping them up too. I was chopping some of the movies up, coming back to them, leftovers. You know, so that was cool. I started season 2 of Your Friends and Neighbors. Shout out to my man Fonz Hutton. He the one that kind of pulled my coat to the fact that they came back. I didn't even realize they came back. It was kind of quiet. I liked season 1 a lot. Season 2 is fine. Season 2 is fine, man. You know, I mess with John Hamm just off the strength of Mad Men. And I feel like a lot of his roles since, more often than not, in some capacity, they try to get a little bit of Don Draper out of him. So they, in this season, they pull out, you know what I mean, a little bit of Don Draper, like a little bit of Don Draper dress up. You see it every so often. He don't all the way lean into it, but it's enough to make you, you know, remember, oh yeah, this cat was down with that prestige show. You know, so he's in it. Olivia Munn, I forget my man, the new guy, his name, Oliver Ash. I forget who's playing this guy. The thing about Your Friends and Neighbors, it's fun. Again, like I like John Hamm, Amanda Peet's in it. You know, it's cool, but it's just, I mean, I think I gave the premise before. It's a wealthy dude, well, fairly wealthy dude, who I guess is going through a divorce or went through a divorce. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? I was about to say there's no stakes for him. But he did lose his job in the first season. He did lose his job. He was going through a divorce, and he had to maintain a lifestyle for his, you know, for his kids, for his, you know, for his ex-wife, and just for the community that they were once a part of, or still a part of. But obviously, it's hard to maintain. And it's one of those. That's basically what the whole show is about. Your friends and neighbors. It's like this community that you're a part of, but you're a part of. You pay to play. You know, we're cool with you as long as you could afford to be at the same country clubs and eat at the same restaurants and come, you know, host a swanky dinner every so often with real expensive wine and expensive whiskey and, you know, things of that nature, just to show that you got it. You know, like your wealth is on display, at least a little, but your wealth is on display like a laminate that gets you access into this community. And, you know, last thing you want to do is be shunned. And we see a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of certain characters get shunned and certain characters double back. And, you know, it's that type of thing. It's cool. It's cool. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm rocking with it. I'm watching it. I'm probably about 4 episodes deep, you know, just after finding out it came back. So I'm tearing through it. I like it. It's an easy watch. It's an easy watch. So that's cool. I'm watching, I'm up to date on Funny AF. Been watching that. They're down to the final 4. Shout out to my man Reg Thomas. Shout out to Usama Sadiq, Caitlin Palufo. Shout out to Caitlin. And shout out to Ron Taylor. That's a good 4. That's a good 4. You know, like, I think Usama and Caitlin have been kind of killing it all the way through. Ron has been doing his thing too. And like Ron got his, he's so like kind of singular. You know what I mean? And then and Reg has a nice little comeback story. And Reg is straight jokes, you know, like real craftsmen. So like I feel like everybody in the 4 are solid. So I'm curious to see who's going to take it. It should be interesting. By this time tomorrow, you should know who got it. And this is cool excitement to, to build for the Kevin Hart roast. Curious about the Kevin Hart roast. Really curious to see who's on the dais, because that's going to determine everything. Like, who's roasting them? You know, like, is it going to be just the, you know, the regular lineup of roasters that just do all that roasting? It's just one, you know, because then it's going to feel one size fits all. I'm curious who's gonna be there. Who all going to be there? That's going to really determine, I think, how good it is. And it's funny that they haven't really announced who's on the lineup yet. I'm not even sure if typically roast kind of advertise who's going to be on the lineup prior to. I feel like they do. Euphoria. Season 3, episode 4, Kitty Likes to Dance. That is the latest episode of Euphoria. The title, I think, refers to the newest dancer at the Silver Slipper, Kitty. That's her name. And I think, it's two-pronged. It's like her non-talent for dancing, but then her seeming willingness to do whatever it takes, you know, and good or bad, you know. So, boom, we open up with this episode. I'm going to just say this off rip. 4 episodes in, and I'm locked into the season still, but I'm not going to lie to you. It feels a little all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, I feel like it's way too many people. You know, I remember, like, over the, like, the, basically the time off between seasons, all that time between seasons, seeing all those little deadline updates with this person's new to the cast of Euphoria, this person's new to the cast of Euphoria. I was always like, yo, that's a lot of people. How they gonna fit all these people in the cast? Because the cast was already pretty big anyway. It's going from big to like sprawling And we still haven't seen half the, I don't say half, we still haven't seen a lot of these people. I think Jocelyn is supposed to be on Euphoria at some point. Like, it's a lot of people, and they're trying to service these people, but I don't know. It's just kind of has you ping-ponging all over the place and not really following, committing to too many storylines. Or if it does choose a storyline, it's not that deep to me. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the Nate and Cassie, or really now Cassie and Maddie, or Cassie's trying to, you know, come up is a big storyline. Obviously, Rue at the Silver Slipper is probably the second biggest storyline. Everything else is like just a bunch of side quests. Whether it's Jules, you know what I mean, doing the Sugar Baby thing, or Lexi writing on his TV show, like the Lori and Alamo back and forth. That's starting to get real Tom and Jerry. You know what I mean? But anyway, so let's talk about it, though. It opens up Rue. Last, you know, episode 3, Rue got pulled over right at the end, so she's sitting in the interrogation room. You see it, what opens up, you see it being fingerprinted. Sitting at the interrogation table with two detectives, two DEA agents, and, you know, they fucking with her at first. They got, like, a little bag of weed on it to make it feel like, you know, they didn't catch everything, you know what I mean? And then they kind of... they're tricking her, you know, getting her to say all types of things. And what this reminded me, again, is like I've said it before, but all of them, but specifically Rue, said she's the lead. You forget she's fresh out of high school. You know, she's outside, but her street sense, you know, her street smarts is still, they ain't all the way honed. So she's not... she don't even know to be like, I'm not saying nothing, get me a lawyer. You know, she just talking. This one line I thought was really funny. She was just like, so you could lie to me and I can't lie to you? That's fucked up. That was funny because they duped her. They caught her. It was like, yo, you been to Mexico? And so she's like, you sure you ain't been to Mexico? She's like, nah, I ain't never, you know, no, I don't think so. If I found a picture of you in Mexico, would that be you in the picture? She's like, you know, this is a hypothetical. She trying to play the game. They pull out a picture. She's like, shit. You know what I mean? Then they pull out all of the real shit, the pills and everything. Like, come on, ma. We found more. This is what it is. So now, long story short, in an effort to keep her freedom, she's now a snitch. She wearing a wire and wired her iPhone. And now she's in the belly of the beast trying to, I guess, bring down Lori and Alamo because there's bodies attached to both of them. And now she's there. So now you see her being delivered back to the Silver Slipper and she just looking scared straight. She looks spooked. You know, she ain't on easy breezy. She real, like, just, she look crazy. Even Big Eddie, like, yo, you look like shit. Yo, what the fuck is going on? She's like, I was just hungover. You know, blah, blah, blah. But you could tell she's like, she a little bit more nervous now. She, you know, she just happy to be free, but she know that she's in the fire. So now we starting to see a little bit of that. She's starting to, you know, to record. And she's a snitch, you know what I'm saying? So we seeing her move around as a snitch. There's a question I was like, Angel, that was the... I think that's the name of the stripper that they took to, the dancer that they took to, quote-unquote, rehab. There was some allusion to, they say, Angel moved on, but then I think Magic, you know, a.k.a. Neck Brace, I think Magic was like, yeah, I forget what it was, but it felt like, I'm not sure, did Angel get killed? Did they kill Angel, or did Angel escape the rehab? Because I feel like that rehab, again, like I said, I think that's where they put him down. They killing them in there. You know, you one way in, no way out. You know what I'm saying? That was an old Roach Motel illusion. I don't know if y'all remember that. One way in, no way out. I think that was what it was. The Roach Motel commercials. Anyway, Nate got his pinky toe back. So, you know, he back on the good foot. Got his pinky toe sewn on. You know, and he trying to be all metaphorical about it. He's like, you know, this... there's a metaphor for me getting my toe back. You know, I thought my life was falling apart, but sometimes you just got to put things back together. You know, he's telling Cassie that shit. She's like, yo, what are you talking about? Yeah, that toe don't even work no more. That toe is basically just an ornament. You know what I mean? They just put that on just for this aesthetic. That toe, the doctor told you that toe is done. But, you know, you got it on you, but it ain't doing nothing. She ain't really feeling him ever since the wool got pulled from over her eyes. And she's like, yo, how much money do you owe? Nate trying to be evasive about it because, you know, he want to keep everybody cool and calm and, you know, nobody worried. That's how he make his play. Ultimately, you know, finally he was like, look, it's almost like $1 million. She's like, what? Snaps out of it. She's like, yo, the fairy tale's over. Next day she moves out. She moves out. She calls up Maddie. She got to make a play. She's like, I can't live with this fake rich cat with only 9 real toes, you know. I got to get back in the world. So she gets down with Maddie. It looks like Maddie, I guess, signed her up as a client. And for a minute, Cassie was living with Lexi. And there's a scene where they got Lexi out there with Maddie and Cassie. Cassie's posing for some old, you know, some fucking OnlyFans type pictures outside by the pool. And she got one of her homegirls with like a leaf blower to give her like the fan effect to make her hair blow in the wind. And Lexi is like, this is some bullshit. And then Rue pulls up because it's looking like Alamo doesn't want to do business with Lori because, you know, it's probably going to be strained now that Alamo killed Lori's bird. So he probably can't double back there. And Rue needs somebody that's going to make a sale so she could, you know, finish up her snitch duties. Anyway, so she pulling up again, looking crazy, trying to find a drug dealer. They like, Rue, did you relapse? She's like, nah, I ain't relapsed. I just need a drug dealer for my boss, this, that, and the other thing. She sound like a smoker. She sound like somebody that relapsed, which you know how they hit you with a story. So the story don't even sound believable, even though it is. And then Lexi kind of pulls back. Lexi's like, yo, I ain't feeling none of this. You looking like you relapsed. Maddie, you pimping Cassie on the internet. Cassie, you over here tarting it up. I'm not feeling none of this. This is crazy. Lexi's like the D1 of the Euphoria cast. But anyway, so that's what's going on there. Side story, Lexi's working on her TV show. She hires Jules to do a painting in the background for the TV show. You know, just a regular background painting. She's like, yo, I could plug my homegirl. She's an artist. She should be able to get this done. And it's a good way to give my, you know, my people some bread, some TV bread. So it might be a nice check. Jules comes through and gets on her artiste and puts dicks on all of the women characters in the painting that's supposed to be a background paint. But now it's hard to, you like, yo, what's going on here? So they not feeling that. They bring Jules back to see if she can modify it. She gets all sullen, like she's been asked to compromise her vision. Meanwhile, she was just hired to do a background painting for a TV show, almost getting Lexi fired, you know. Funny thing is, still, I don't recognize Sharon Stone. I had to be like, oh, right, this is Sharon Stone. I'm looking at her like, this Sharon Stone? She don't remind me of Sharon Stone. I know it's her. But anyway, so that's a little side thing. It's one little side stories. Back to Rue. Rue's in Big Eddie's office when he's not there. And she's looking at the closed circuit camera and she sees Kitty, the new girl. It's looking like they're running a train on her. You know, they're looking like it's like a bachelor party train or something like that. And, it's the reality of sex work. You know, she's disturbed and concerned for Kitty. So, like, later on, Kitty is in the bathroom. Rue thinking they alone. She's asking her, she all right? You know, does she feel like she's been forced into this? Meanwhile, Magic, you know, neck brace. She's in one of the stalls eavesdropping. soon as they break up, you know, and Magic come out whistling, you know what I'm saying? Like, real antagonistic, you know what I'm saying? Like, whistling, she go pull up on Big Eddie like, yo, Rue, you got to watch her. She's, I don't know if she's called a snitch, but she was like, basically, she ain't no good. She's asking Kitty, was she being forced? You know, all of this type of shit. Fortunately, Rue mistakenly left her phone in there. I don't know if it's mistakenly, but Rue left her phone in there on record. So the people at the DEA, they hearing Magic tell Big Eddie about the shit. They call her. It's mad late, too. Big Eddie about to ask her something. He's like, he about to confront her about this whole thing with Kitty. And her phone starts ringing and says it's her mother. So the DEA is coaching her, like, yo, say something about your grandmother, you know, to make it look like an emergency. And they say, yo, homegirl she snitched on you. She told Big Eddie that you tried to turn Kitty, and you need to really you got to smear her character. It's you or her. It's now and you got to smear. You got to go back in there. You got to smear her character. So she goes in there. It looks like she might have even planted some drugs in the girl's locker. But anyway, she go in there and they start beefing in front of Big Eddie. She calling her a hoe. Ho, you, who gonna believe you? You a hoe. You running around here with a fake neck brace. You know what I mean? You ain't trustworthy. You not credible. This, that, and the other thing. Rosalia's, you know, blacking on her. You know, what the fuck is you talking about? You're a snitch. All of a sudden, they get bum rushed. They get bum rushed by Lori's people. The goons from Lori's spot, they come in with the guns drawn. They like, yo, where's the safe? And Big Eddie's like, listen, if I show you the safe, I'm going to get killed. So it's going to be what it's going to be. And then they like, oh, word? I bet. So then they threaten to shoot Rue and Magic. They got the guns drawn on them. Big Eddie kind of like, oh, fuck it. I mean, it's them or me. So then they turn and they shoot him in the stomach. Wow. Ooh, that shit was gushing blood. Blood all over the place. He's still trying to hold strong, you know. Then they say, yo, fam, we'll shoot you in the dick. Ah, it was the moment I feared. On some Slick Rick shit. What? Hell no. Sorry, y'all. All right, listen. Give me a second, man. So he go to the damn safe. He cracked the safe open. They start taking the money out. They jet up out of there. They going. He bleeding out. You know what I mean? Still got his manhood, but he bleeding out. He about to look like he could die. They start to report it to, I don't know if they report it to Alamo. I guess they pick up the phone to call Alamo. They're looking at the Alamo. I think it's Alamo. Alamo's not even concerned about Big Eddie's health or whatever. He's like, yo, look at that video. Who's in the video? What do you see in the video? What's the license plate on the car? Were they all wearing masks? Do you see anybody? They see a woman in there. Magic's like, she got some big ass lips. And Rue is like, oh, that's Faye. That's Faye. That's Lori's people. So now they got the finger on Lori. So now, again, there's another round of Lori Alamo. And it keeps ratcheting up. Now, this time, there was some gunplay, right? First time, what was it? We took Rue. That wasn't, I guess, round one, you took Rue. Round two, she called him a pig. He sent the pig, killed the bird, now shot Big Eddie. Now, what's going to happen? It's starting to get a little tired. You know what I mean? Because, again, like, as many people as there are, like, some of these storylines are starting to wear thin. All right. So that's what's going on with Rue for the most part. At the same time, on the other side of things, like I said, Cassie moved out. Cassie sold her engagement ring, got some money, got her own apartment in the same complex as her sister. So now she got like a studio. She's in there shooting all types of provocative content. You know, she's trying to take it there. She's trying to get there. And Maddie, again, has signed her on. So Maddie's trying to navigate her into the game, into the life. Maddie finds an event to take her to this kid named Brandon, one of these influencers. This guy's got 20 million followers. They say that shit like he is that guy. That's the clout score of 850. 20 million followers, got a big ass party going on at this, like, I don't know what type of, I guess it's a house. Like, it's like a, like, I don't know, beach house, but some fly shit. A bunch of crazy party, bunch of women in there. Maddie tells Cassie off rip. So first she told Cassie, yo, wear your flyer shit. Like, come through wearing your flyer shit. So Cassie go put a whole leopard fit on. You know what I mean? Get all the way dolled up. Maddie like, all right, bet. Okay. She said, now listen, when we go in here, your goal is just to be on video with this cat in some capacity. But, you know, give him the idea that he could hit, but don't fuck him. Because if you do, that motherfucker will not talk to you the next day and you're done. You're just a casualty. You know, you go from Cassie to casualty. So you just gotta dangle that carrot. But don't let it go down. So she's like, all right, back. So she go up in there and she's a little overwhelmed by like everything going on. He's in the mix, like at the top of the thing, elevated above everybody, looking like the man, but there's all types of women and all of that. And Maddie's still in her ear. Maddie's like her costumado. Maddie's like, listen, these women here, they're stray dogs. And they're looking at you like just like you ain't nobody. You just a young pup. You're the new girl. You are not. They are not fucking with you. Do not take their kindness. Do not believe it. Do not believe it. They are trying. You are in the way. Stay focused. So boom. So she gets right in the mix. She's jumping on one of the pedestals with a pole. She's going crazy, having a good time. She bumps into Caitlin, who seems like, you know, obviously she's got some. Caitlin is Maddie's old client, the one that Maddie had to give up because her boss just didn't see the vision. So Caitlin is still somewhat somebody in that world, you know, like people know and everything like that. And Caitlin like, yo, how you know Maddie? She's like, you know, we go way back. So, oh, I bet. I don't think Caitlin told Maddie, you know, Caitlin didn't tell Maddie. Yeah, I used to work for Maddie. I mean, tell Cassie, I used to work for Maddie. Anyway, Caitlin somehow brings Cassie up there and they right there with Brandon. They having a good time. They drinking, whatever, whatever. They go to like to the back room. Brandon like, yo, let's really have a party. So they go to a back room that gets locked. It's in the cut. It's like where all of that, you know, all that old crazy shit go down. So they in there. I think Caitlin was like, yo, I got coke. Let's go really party. So they pull off to the cut room. They getting in the cut room. I'm a little nervous for Cassie because, like, there's, like, Rube energy to her, right? You be thinking that, you know, she's ditzy, right? But then when in this scene, you realize she's cunning, too. She's ditzy, but she's not an idiot. She is not slow. So just the little moves that she does to kind of maneuver Caitlin out the way and get better proximity to Brandon to, like, really lock in, to make him feel like something really could happen. And it looks like something might happen. Like, Brandon getting open. They doing coke off each other. She's just taking it to the next level. Homegirl want to do coke off her belly button. Nah, Cassie pulling it all the way. Like, yo, let's do coke off the cat. You know what I mean? Let's get to it. So, boom. It's looking like it's about to go super down. Maddie is like, because Maddie kind of got lost in the fray. She ain't know where Cassie was, but she knows the place. I guess she's been there before, and she know his friends because she navigates. I want to say this might even be her client. No, I think that's Dylan. But in that influencer world, the people kind of know her. So his friends, they walk her to the back. You know, she's like, unlock the door. And they respect her enough to, like, really, like, get to unlocking the door. And just in time for it looked like it was about to happen. I don't know if it was going to be assault. I don't know if Cassie was going to be with it. I don't know. It was a lot going on in there. But as soon as that door opened up and the guy comes in with the video and Cassie jumps up, my name is Cassie, such and such and such and such. That's my handle. Like, dead right on it. Like, yo, fuck that. Let me do this drop. And she got the drop. And we'll see if that shit takes it to the next level. But I think that's it. Honestly, I think that was, it was a fun episode. Like, it's all, they all fun. I don't, you know, it's been rumored to say this is the last season. It's parts of it feels like last season type of energy. We just satisfying the thirst of the fan base, but it's, I don't know. I want to see how they stick the landing. If this is the last season, I'm curious if there's going to be any real, you know, from what I understand, it's supposed to be like real, like finality, like certain things was going to, things are going to happen to some of these characters. We'll see. We'll see. I'm still watching. What y'all think? Y'all enjoying it? You feeling it? Let me know. Let me know if you feeling that, John. Yeah, that's it, yo. I'm up out of here. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. You know what I mean? Always a treat when players meet. I'm out. Listen, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy to get a conversation. Peace.